You may be seated. While I am not the one in the family who has a green thumb, it is the hope of those who plant flowers and other plants or who plant vegetables in a garden that the plant will grow and mature. We don't want to be doing work in our flower beds in our gardens for no purpose. John, in the passage in the epistle lesson this morning, gives us two ways that are evidences that our love for God is genuine and that our love for God is maturing and ripening. The evidences for God's work in us that we are to continue to confess Christ as Son of God and Savior, and a second way that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. First thing, God's love matures in us as we continue to confess Christ as Son of God and Savior. Now, I've chosen the word mature very deliberately in my sermon title, even though the phrase used in the New American Standard Version in 1 John 4:12 and 17 is translated that God's love is perfected in us. And that's due to the variation of the word perfect in English. Sometimes perfect means that which was without moral flaw or error, but I've chosen the word mature, which is also an alternate meaning of the word perfected. Since John in the first chapter of this letter has clearly stated that no believer is without sin, what John is focusing on in this chapter is the idea of God's love ripening and maturing in us. God's love matures in us as we confess Christ as Son of God and Savior. This assurance of God's love matures in us so that we can have confidence on the day of God's judgment. The reason that we have confidence on the day of God's judgment is based on Christ's work for us. The Holy Spirit is presently at work in us to instill this confidence and this assurance of our salvation based on who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And so he is called the Savior of the world and the Son of God in 1 John 4, verses 14 and 15. The title Son of God refers to Jesus' eternal relationship with the Father. And the Lord Jesus being the Savior of the world refers to his saving work for humanity, culminating in his atoning death on the cross for us. Christ's mission to save sinners was his work to reconcile us to God and God to us. When people confess Jesus as the Son of God and trust in him to save them from their sins, John tells us that God abides in us and we in God. 1 John 4:16 goes on to say this: "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world." Because we are united to Christ by faith, by trusting in him, in this world, and because he has freely given us the benefits of our salvation, which he purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. So as he is, so we are in this world. The eternal Son of God purchase for us adoption as sons. And so because he is the eternal Son of God, he includes us, grafts us, adopts us into his family. We can grow and mature in this assurance of positional standing as adopted sons of God. As John goes on in this passage, he speaks as there being no fear in love. In 1 John 4:18, because a perfect love, a mature love, casts out all fear. This type of fear is not right for the genuine believer because Christ died once and for all for sins. We are no longer under the condemnation of our sins. We are forgiven through faith in Christ. He has set us free from the penalty and punishment that our sin deserves. And so once and for all, he died for us. That's settled. So John reminds us that God has taken this initiative in saving us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." John does not want us to be confused about this matter. We don't seek after God in our own initiative and strength. Nor do we seek God first, and as a result, he came to dwell in us. Rather, because God loved us and saved us, he sought after us first, and thus we are enabled to trust in God for our salvation. We love God as evidence of the fact that God has already taken possession of our lives to make this possible. And so, as an evidence that God's love is maturing in us, we continue and persevere in our trust in Christ as both the Son of God and our Savior. Secondly, God's love matures in us when we love one another. 1 John 4:12 says this, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." John makes the statement that God is not visible to the human eye. He cannot be seen directly. Even when he appeared to Moses, it says that Moses was only able to see God's back parts. And so it's a partial vision of divine glory. Otherwise, we could not survive. Although God cannot be seen directly with the human eye, his reality and presence can be evident as his people love one another. If we love one another, God's love is evident in our midst. And God himself abides in us and dwells in us. John's reasoning at this point is interesting. He argues that if genuine love for others is absent, then love for God is also absent. John gave us the two most important Jesus gave us the two most important commandments of God's law in Matthew 22, which serve as a summary of a law, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus combines these two commands, and John repeats this evidence that you cannot have love for God whom you cannot see if you do not have love for one another whom you can see. John is in harmony with other parts of Scripture, such as James 2, which says that faith without works is dead. The Apostle Paul also says, in harmony with this message, in Galatians 5, verse 6, that faith works through love. A lively faith will result in us loving one another. John makes a forceful reasoning in 1 John 4, verse 20, that he who professes to love the living God who is invisible and does not love others who are visible is self-deceived and is a liar. When faith is disconnected from love, it is empty and vacuous. Little surprise that John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, reminds us in 1 John 4, verse 21, "Whoever loves God must also love his brother." We see the interconnectedness of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for one another. This is what makes faith reasonable, practical, and visible. The reason why we're able to love one another is due to the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit in us, in our hearts, in our characters, and in our lifestyle. When John's message is properly understood, it strikes a balance. a balance between challenging true believers to love God and to keep His commandments, but also giving us hope. John says that when love is totally absent toward another person, then a person's faith is empty and void. But loving being totally absent is not the same thing as a believer struggling to love someone else. And so John would say to a believer struggling to love someone else that we need to keep on struggling. We need to keep practicing love toward one another, even when we fall flat on our face, even when we love imperfectly. John's message to us would be, get up, brush off your clothing, so to speak, seek God's forgiveness, and re-engage in the mission to love one another. And so John both challenges us when we're falling short of the mark of love, but he also wants to give us hope. If we confess our sins, even the sin of not loving someone as we should, receive God's forgiveness and re-engage in the work of serving God and loving one another. We need to pray and ask God's Spirit to help us overcome our lack of love, in which we find someone hard to be around. Maybe you have tried to reconcile with someone in the past that you've offended and sinned against, and it just went flat because the other person wasn't interested in reconciliation. Perhaps the best we can do is pray for them. Sometimes in a fallen and imperfect world that we live in, that is not only the best way we can love one another, sometimes it's the only way we can love one another. And so we need to pray to God to give us a deeper love, a maturing love, a perfected love. May God give us grace and strength to love one another, to continue to hold fast the faith of Christ as Son of God and Savior. Is God at work in us spiritually? John answers this question by affirming that God is at work in us if we confess Christ as Son of God and Savior, and if we connect that faith to genuine love for one another. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, strengthen us in our resolve to believe in You, to trust in You, and to love You above all. Give us an ever-deepening love for one another, and so walk with us step by step and day by day. Help us, O Lord, to grow, to mature, to deepen our faith in You. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.